One of the great things about Earlham College is that students from different majors, different backgrounds, different countries even, discover that they have interests in common and that they can only benefit from working together.
They are trying to answer the same questions, only from different angles, and they come together in teams to find solutions to real-world problems. That's Earlham, and here's how it happens.
In this episode of the Earlham College Podcast,
we are joined by two students from Michelle Tong's Taking Biopsychology from Lab to Society class as they investigate topics related to the question, what do we find funny? This podcast is inspired by the Stopwatch Science segments popularized by the show Hidden Brain on NPR.
Hello and welcome to our podcast. I'm Ethan Perkins, a first year at Earlham College, and I'm thinking of double majoring in econ and psych. I'm also from Columbus, Ohio, so it's not too far away from here.
Hello, I'm Megan Bennett. I'm also a first-year student and thinking of double majoring in math and physics. I'm from Muncie, Indiana. Ethan and I are in the Psych 340 class taught by Michelle Tong, taking biopsychology from lab to society. There are a total of four students in our class, and we meet Tuesday and Thursday in the co-lab. Some of our achievements thus far this semester have included learning effective library research skills and skills for critical analysis of popular science communications, including podcasts.
Yeah, I love this small class because it means we get to have conversations all the time.
Me too.
And just like learn about what we really are interested in.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so we're here to talk to you today about one of those topics, like what we find funny. Right? I've always wondered what makes me smile or why things make me smile.
Me too.
Or why I just laugh and I can't control it sometimes, you know? It's really interesting.
Yeah, definitely. Let's dive into the first topic. What we find funny may boil down to what's in our cultural DNA and what makes us us. Let's take Professors Alden Hoyer and Lee's interesting research. Their motivation was that U.S. markets know a minimal amount of knowledge on foreign markets' use of humor as a communication tool. Their research was all about four in particular cultures, the U.S., Korea, Germany, and Thailand. They found that generally the use of humorous advertisements enhances the ability to recall, evaluate, and purchase them. Information that's presented to us in an entertaining way often sticks with us. They found that when business situations use humor, they're more successful if they clearly use a playful context, meaning they give clues that directly tell not to take the information seriously. We may be unsure what we find funny in cultures. It's much easier when it's written out for us. The findings showed that humor is most likely universal, rather than cultural bound. They hypothesized that there may be a standardized way for cultures to successfully incorporate humor. So, maybe at the end of the day, you would have laughed at the same joke as did your ancestors, and the ancestors of others halfway across the globe.
That's really cool. You know, I always thought at least part of humor was cultural, right? Like,
yeah.
I always thought that, oh, maybe I won't laugh at this joke or they won't laugh at that joke. It's really cool to hear that that may not be the case.
Yeah, absolutely.
Speaking of our ancestors, though, I wanted to get a glimpse at some of the evolutionary roots of humor. So I looked at research done by Jack Pengsep and Jeff Bergdorf. They did research on rat vocalizations and found some positive affects, which are basically just rat noises that indicate something good that they think are related to laughter. So Pengsep and Bergdorf, fantastic names, by the way. I'm sorry if I butchered them. Oh, my goodness. Looked at noises that young rats were making when they played. When one of the other people in their lab, Brian Knutson, noticed this 50 kilohertz noise that kept happening while they played. The chirp's been studied when it comes to sex and other areas, but it was happening a lot more frequently in this play. It turns out that rats make this noise when they're in a lot of the same situations people are in when they laugh, like when they're tickled. Yes, apparently rats can be tickled. I learned this in the study. It's amazing. It doesn't have all the bells and whistles of human laughter, but it still seems to be used in a lot of the same situations, to express joy or happiness, and as a way to figure out who you want to hang out with. Younger rats actually spend more time with older rats that do the laughter chirp more. Isn't that adorable? Now, there are still a lot of questions here, and this research doesn't prove anything definitively one way or the other. But it's really fun to think about. From rats to people, we've all got something in common.
Yes, that's very interesting research. I definitely think rats are more adorable now. So what's funny and what's not funny? Turning to Professors Warren and McGraw's research, they looked at whether humor arises from incongruity. What do they actually mean by incongruity? Well, incongruity in this setting is inconsistently defined as surprise, juxtaposition, atypicality, and violation. This is one flaw the researchers found. Instead, the professors proposed that humor arises when a person's well-being, identity, or beliefs are threatened. So if someone is bullying you, you may try to laugh your way out. Knowing the origin of where humor arises tells us in what circumstances we will react to humor. into what things we will find funny, like those mean jokes that comedians sometimes provoke that aren't actually funny but mean funny, and so you laugh anyway so that the comedian will move on. One experiment had these viewers watch a video where they were told what to expect, but something completely different occurred, and then they laughed because their belief of what was going to occur didn't actually occur. They think humor to be indicated by laughter, which may be contagious, the recognition of something as funny, or feeling the pleasure of amusement emotionally. They found humor helps in tolerating social differences. We may find something funny in any social class.
That's really cool. You know, it makes a lot of sense that people use humor to, like, deflect. I mean, I think I do that too sometimes, where I'm like, right, you're being mean, but I'm just going to make it into a joke so that none of us are taking it as seriously.
Right,
you know?
Definitely.
It really helps, like, calm the situation down. Humor is also used to get to know people better and gauge situations. So Jennifer Tarian and Blake Ashforth did research on the role of put-down humor, or jokes at someone else's expense, or just someone's expense in general, in the formation of temporary groups. The authors studied a six-week police executive course in Ottawa, and what they found was that put-down humor serves as a way for groups to get together, stay together, and figure out how close they are. The more well-liked you were, the more often people seemed to make fun of you. As one of the participants put it, you would know you weren't a part of the group if nobody made fun of you. It's really cool to think about how getting made fun of actually, like, makes you a part of the group.
Mm-hmm.
If you're important enough to be noticed and accepted, you're important enough to be made fun of. In this case, the humor served as a sort of social signal and went through a few overlapping stages. It started with putting yourself down to let everyone know you're not a threat and you're on their level. Mm-hmm. Then people started putting down groups everyone was a part of, in this case the police and some other groups like people from Newfoundland, to show that everyone can laugh at themselves. The last step involved more casually putting down others to show how much you know about them and that they were noticed. It also helps to show that you're friends because,
right,
you know, like,
yeah,
you're only going to say that
kind
of thing to your friend if you're a good person, I think.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
That's interesting how it seems like to not take an insult personally to know that you fit in.
Yeah, exactly. And they did some research and, like, it needs to be in a context where you know it's a joke. And,
right, of course.
And, like, when other people do it who aren't in the group, people don't take it as well. So,
yeah, all about environment.
For sure.
So let's ask the question. Whoever thought that humor may arise due to the desire of one person to feel superior? Well, researchers Graham, Papa, and Brooks looked at the various functions of humor in conversations. Why do we find things funny in conversations? One reason may be to feel a sense of dominance or achievement, of having put a smile on someone's face. Or, if you have a particular personality trait, you may have a good sense of humor. If you're an extrovert, especially. Laughter is also a tension-reducing device. We may find things funny to loosen up our interactions, to break the ice. Yet another function of laughter may be because of group inclusion. We may find something funny because it is an inside joke, and we can relate to it. Another function of humor, the researchers analyzed, was using humor to express hostility, like a sarcastic remark that has a smirk alongside it. They found females, more often than males, carry out this technique. The researchers also found that jokes help when there is change, because it replaces anxiety. Some people find things funny because they enjoy being demeaning, or even breaking the ice, or even because it is a part of their personality. So then, happiness may be a choice.
You never think about how much you can control how you feel.
Right.
And humor is a really good way to do it, right? Like, making jokes, definitely, helping everyone calm down a little bit, take the situation less seriously.
Yeah.
Even when it is serious, it can help you center yourself a little bit, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. We might also find things funny because we subconsciously think they're true, which may not sound bad at first, but, like, after this study, I was like, oh my goodness, I'm a horrible person. So in his study, Robert Lynch measured how much people laughed or smiled during Bill Burr's stand-up, which I'm not 100% sure who that is, but we can go with
me
it.
Me either.
Yeah, and compared this to their feelings about things like race and gender with an implicit bias test. He was trying to see how laughter relates to implicit preferences, and he found that when people subconsciously believe something, they tend to laugh more at jokes that line up with that belief.
Interesting.
If someone had stronger implicit beliefs about gender roles, for example, they tended to laugh more at jokes that were about gender.
Mm.
We can't always control what we subconsciously believe, or even what we laugh at. So we might not want to go around blaming people for laughing at jokes we don't like.
Mm-hmm.
Still, though, it really makes me think about all the jokes I used to laugh at when I was younger.
Right.
None of this is particularly mind-blowing, but it's good to have research to back up what you might already think.
Mm-hmm. Right. That makes me refer to my childhood as well, when I thought many, many things were funny that might actually have not been funny.
I know. It's like, was I just, like, horrible, or did I not understand things?
Right.
Or what's going on there?
Yeah. Part of being a kid. So why do we find things funny? Because humor is universal. It digs deep into all of our cultures. We laugh our way out of uncomfortable situations sometimes. Depending on our personality, we may want to be dominant or inviting towards others. We may even be ticklish. Humor makes people feel like they fit in most of the time. Our subconscious has a sense of humor as well. In the end, humor is usually a positive trait and can do more good than harm. It also burns calories.
It really does. Just all those stomach muscles.
Yeah. Right.
I'd like to thank the people who made this podcast possible, for giving us the equipment to record it, and most of all for Michelle Tong and Megan Bennett, my partners.
Thank you as well.
Like, without them, we wouldn't have been able to do this. This podcast was directly inspired by Stopwatch Science, parts of Hidden Brain podcast. So if you want to go to the NPR One app on Android or iPhone devices, you can do that too.
Thank you so much for listening.
Thanks for listening. Have Bye. A great day.
For more information about Earlham College, visit earlham.edu or give us a call at 1-800-EARLHAM.
Visit us on Facebook at facebook.com/EarlhamCollege. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Earlham1847. And check out the sights and sounds of Earlham at youtube.com/EarlhamCollege.
To participate in one of our live interactive web chats, visit earlham.edu/chat.
The Earlham College Podcast is a production of the Earlham College Department of Marketing and Communications.
I'm Brian Zimmerman.
And I'm Mark Brim.
And we'll see you next time.